in my day.
Yes, it is Friday. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Welcome to the program. My name is Mike Malloy. Thank you for finding us and tuning in. I hope you're going to stick around for a while. The big news today, of course, is Nancy Pelosi should resign because she's horrible, awful, despicable, dishonest, and vicious. That is coming from Newt Gingrich. He of the infamous word list back in the mid-90s. You remember Newt, the guy that was drummed out of the office of Speaker of the House in dishonor, the guy who committed all sorts of ethics violations. He was never nailed on criminal violations, but only because the Republicans were so deeply enmeshed and in control. And all that stuff about having affairs with unsuspecting interns until he finally married one. That was never brought up either. But Newt Gingrich, that Newt Gingrich, he says House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is engaging in a, quote, despicable, dishonest, and vicious political effort. He continues to use that word list, doesn't he? Huh? To withhold what she knew about the CIA's aggressive interrogation program. To withhold what she knew. Oh, my God. She did? In an interview with ABC Radio, Gingrich said Pelosi flat out, quote, lied to the House, end quote, when she earlier claimed the CIA had never briefed her about the use of torture techniques, including waterboarding. She lied. Son of a bitch. That's just what that. Well, that's. Oh, my God. That's what Bill Clinton did. He lied, too. Oh, these dirty, filthy Democrats. You get them in positions of power, president, speaker of the House, whatever. They lie. All day long, I'm watching this on, well, not that I sit down in front of the television, but every time I turned it on, there's Dana Bash at CNN. There's, what's his name? Chris Matthews on MSNBC. There's this expert. There's that expert. There's Mary Matalin on the Situation Room, acting like this is the greatest crime committed, since, And then to listen to the right wingers who are invited on these programs as guests on the Situation Room or whatever, insist that Leon Panetta issued a statement today declaring that Nancy Pelosi lied. Well, no, he didn't. You see, Panetta's statement today was addressed to his crew over at the terrorist organization known as the CIA. And his statement to his crew was, yeah, man, you know, like things are happening and, you know, everybody chill. It's okay. You're a bunch of real professionals. Don't worry about it. It's okay. It's cool. You know, be quiet. Sit down. Calm down. Don't try to assassinate the president. Don't try to assassinate the Speaker of the House. It's okay. Sit down. You're all professionals. Over and over again. This is madness. I watched, two newscasts, tonight. ABC or NBC comes on first here, and then we have, ABC. All right, where's my little note? Oh, damn, what about it? Here it is. On ABC, usually, I'm sorry, NBC, usually it's, what's his name? Who's on NBC? You know, Brian Williams. Thank you. Oh, my God, I can't keep, you know, I don't care. Brian Williams. But tonight they had Judah Stephanopoulos on NBC. Was that NBC? Was it NBC? No. He's a, who did they have on NBC? Was that Brian Williams? Anyway, NBC did nothing. Oh, that's right. It was the guy from Chicago who used to hang out in our studio. Lester Holt. There's so many stars in network television. Lester Holt sat in for Brian Williams and in the entire newscast, all 22 minutes of it after commercials, not a mention, nothing of the Pelosi, Leon Panetta, Newt Gingrich, all this other garbage, nothing. ABC, on the other hand, where was it Judas Stephanopoulos? He sat in for Charlie, and Judas opened up the show, the top story. The first 6 minutes was all about 6 minutes out of 22. What is that? A third of the nightly newscast or headline reading, whatever the hell they do it at ABC, a third of it went to Nancy Pelosi. So I find myself in the awkward position of defending Nancy Pelosi. I'm not defending her. Not at all. You know, Pelosi entered into that little dark room that I set aside in the back of my mind for people who just turned my stomach when, you know, she became speaker and accepted the gavel from John Boehner and then, you know, immediately did nothing where it concerned allowing the Constitution to work its magic and put Bush and Cheney on the street. So, I have no deep, warm feelings for Nancy Pelosi at all. On the other hand, to watch her being torn at by these filthy little Republican curs, you know, these alley dogs, these swinish little scum. And it's very effective because media in this country goes for it. They go for it! Everything else is wiped off. You know what else? What we didn't hear today? We didn't hear that that Karl Rove was questioned under oath by investigators. Of course, it doesn't really count because the people questioning him are career embedded civil service Justice Department people put in position before they left office by Bush and Cheney. Yeah, you see how this works? God damn, this is so cool. I mean, this is just genius stuff, right? Right? Also, what we didn't hear about is Barack Obama nominated a Superfund polluter lawyer to run the Department of Justice Environmental Division. Didn't hear about that, did we? Also, the CIA told Dick Cheney to stick it where the sun don't shine with his phony, half-assed request for those.
Well, I want to see these memos released that it can provide a more honest debate on the Bush administration's approval of alternative interrogation techniques against, you know, people that are trying to blow up the Sears Tower in Chicago. Yeah.
So the CIA told him politely to kiss its grits. They're not going to release anything to him. So all that stuff is out there today, right? But the big story? Did Nancy Pelosi know in 02 or 03? Why did she lie? Is there lies here? What's going on? Should Nancy Pelosi resign? Oh, ga-ga-ga. Well, looky here. No, looky over here. No, looky over here. No, looky over here. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. This is madness. It's madness. It's just, there's no story with Nancy Pelosi. Who gives a goddamn what Nancy Pelosi knew about, and Gingrich. Oh, my God, Gingrich just wetting his pants. And not with P. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is engaging in a despicable, dishonest, it's the worst thing I've ever heard in my entire political career. Vicious political effort. And he wants her investigated. He said, quote, I think that the House has an absolute obligation to open an inquiry, and I hope there will be a resolution to investigate her. And I think this is a big deal. I don't think the Speaker of the House can lie to the country on national security matters. End quote. I don't think the Speaker of the House can... What does she lie on? Huh? You're the liar! You, nudie! You, the one that got your cotton undies all stuffed up in your you-know-what when you couldn't ride in the front of Air Force One. You, who molested intern after intern, some of them in the parking lot, in the car. Oh, my God. But there he is, all bloated, exceedingly white Newt Gingrich. Every week that goes by, this guy gets whiter and paler and whiter and paler. It's incredible. She's a trivial politician, viciously using partisanship for the narrowest of purposes, and she dishonors the Congress by her behavior. What? Oh, my God. This, This is just too much. It's just too much. We'll be right back.
Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So to cap off the day of it, just complete insanity here, the head of the CIA, now Leon Panetta, said this afternoon that Nancy Pelosi's charge that she was misled in 2002 about the use of waterboarding. Panetta said, he defended the agency. See, he didn't call her a liar. He didn't say she's wrong. Here's what he said. Let me, quote, this is CIA Director Leon Panetta, quote, let me be clear. It is not our policy or practice to mislead Congress. That is against our laws and values, end quote. Okay. Well, then, what about all that stuff about weapons of mass destruction and yellow cake, uranium crap coming from Niger, and he's got a nuclear bomb he's going to build? Oh, my God. But see, the American public is made up of Democrats who are very pissed off, Republicans who couldn't find their ass with both hands, and Republicans who don't care about the torture. They don't care about the torture. They care about the photographs. They don't care about the fact that the CIA is known globally for half a century as a terrorist organization that kills people, overthrows governments, destabilizes currencies, executes people, tortures. No. Nancy Pelosi knew and didn't tell. Oh, my God. Now, Leon Panetta said the political debate over interrogation reached a new decibel level yesterday, quote unquote. See, Panetta is not saying Nancy Pelosi is lying. And the reason he's not saying that is because she isn't. And Panetta knows it. She knows it. Obama knows it. The CIA knows it. But the CIA knows how it was used by this filthy Dick Cheney for 8 years. And don't forget, there is no written, written note taking allowed in these hearings. That's why, Panetta said the other day, this is all extemporaneous memory from the people involved. So it's open to interpretation. But Newt Gingrich and the right wingers who are polluting the airwaves. Oh no! Oh no! She's lying! And even Panetta is saying, let me be clear. It's not our policy to mislead Congress. It's not our policy. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. What? Someone wants to call me a hypocrite? You want to call me a hypocrite?
Hello.
Yeah, you want to call me a hypocrite?
You are a hypocrite.
Get the goddamn hell off my program. What is wrong with you? He says you're a hypocrite. Get out of here. That's not the way. Listen, you half-ass. That's not the way you start a conversation when you invade somebody's radio program. Ed. Was that his name, Ed?
I don't know. We didn't have time to find out.
I don't care what his name was. It was dirt as far as I'm concerned. You're a goddamn hypocrite. What? Get out of here. Get out of here. Get your hand out of your crotch and put it on the wheel. Was he driving around? I guess he was driving around. Man, I can't stand this. Look, let me tell you, right winger, something, okay? You little piglets. If you want to call the program, you can call. I'll even talk to you. But that's not the way you start out. I don't come into your office or the bread line, wherever you collect your money. I don't come in there and say, you're a hypocrite. You stink. You got boils on your ass. You know, I don't do that to you. So if you want to talk on this program, all you have to do is say, well, I disagree, or something of that sort. You understand what I mean, Ed? Oh, my God, these people don't learn. I've been in this business 24 years, and I have yet to hear a right-winger who knows how to start a conversation. Usually the best way to do it is to say, hi, you're a hypocrite. Oh, my God. So again, and White House spokesman Robert Gibbs decided to stay out of the controversy. He was asked about all this today, and he said, quote, I appreciate the invitation to get involved, but I'll decline to RSVP, end quote. Man. Panetta, what does it say here, said records of the period, quote, indicate the CIA officers briefed truthfully on the interrogation of Abu Zubaydah, describing the enhanced techniques that had been employed. Well, okay, but an unclassified chart released last month by the CIA describes a total of 40 briefings to lawmakers over a period of several years of this torture. Pelosi's name appears once as having attended a session on September 4th, 2002, when she was the senior Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee. You see what's going on here. See, Panetta is just, Panetta has turned into a ballet dancer, man. He is just plieing right down that line between whether or not the people of the CIA are going to assassinate him or whether or not he's going to be yelled at by his comrades in the Democratic Party. This is incredible stuff. 40 briefings, and Pelosi attended one. So Panetta can say, yeah, well, it's not the policy of the CIA to mislead. Are you kidding me, Leon?
Yeah, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling of something right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am. Stuck in the middle with you. Cause I'm stuck in the middle with you. Stuck in the middle with you.
I will walk 10 miles. Time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. Oh, by the way, let's see. Bottom of the next hour, we have the newest episode of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe that will be played for your listening enjoyment. That's coming up in less than an hour, bottom of the next hour. Also, for the subscribers to the Malloy podcast, we have, yes, we do, a brand new Malloy Uncensored Mailbag video that's up right now. Just go to the site, use your password and your login, and check it out. This one involves a fence, bears, a pickup truck, and some really nasty, nasty emails. So if you're a subscriber, go ahead and go. Take a number. Don't all go at once. It might crash the site. So arrange yourselves. Talk among yourselves. Decide who's going to go first. And if you're not a subscriber, you got to do this. It's 25 cents a show. Come on. Go to MikeMalloy.com and sign up for the podcast. And then you get the key to the little room where these videos are stored. And some other stuff. Oh, by the way, Kathy says we have some new pictures of in the gallery of Molly. Where are they from?
And those are free.
Oh.
I put about a dozen of them up today, and they're just various shots of Miss Molly, because we hadn't updated any since the child was like a foot shorter than she is now. So.
Oh, so these are her teenage pictures.
Exactly. Yeah. These are the ones of her driving the car, right, and going to the prom.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, she's not quite five, but it's very risky because, well, if you'll hear on the Malloy Uncensored Mailbag, the current edition, you'll hear why it's a little bit risky to for one to put one's spouse and or offspring out there for people to comment on. Republicans are such filthy, filthy people. I swear to God there. Anyway, Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag, the new one's up. If you're a subscriber, go for it. And also Operation, or not Operation, my God, Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe coming up at the bottom of the next hour. Anything else?
No, I think that's all.
Good.
I don't think we have anything else.
I don't think we do at
that's
this
it.
Point.
We got the
right?
kid, gumshoe, and the video.
And the video. That's
our
it.
Life.
Back to the program. Let's see. Leon Panetta. He said in issuing a statement today. The statement really, although it was made public, the statement was addressed to the CIA employees. And he said, "Let me be clear. It's not our policy to practice or mislead Congress." Okay. It's not the policy of people to go rob banks either, Leon, but they do it. Yeah. This is such weasel words. I mean, it's such weasel words here. But it's okay. It's all right. Like I say, Panetta doesn't want to wake up some morning and find his body in the bed and his head over in the corner. He knows who he works for. He knows what he's doing. He knows who he works with, I should say. He knows what he's in charge of. He's in charge of the premier global terrorist organization, and that is the CIA. It's been in operation for five decades, if not longer. They are into murder, assassination, torture, overthrowing governments, destabilizing currencies, ending people's lives. I mean, this organization, don't forget, they trained the Shah of Iran after we murdered, or not murdered, but overthrew the duly elected governor Mohammad Mossadegh back in 1953. We overthrew him, put the Shah back on the throne, and then the first thing we did was train his secret police and his torture apparatus. That's what we did in Central America. It's what we did in South America. It's what we've done in Southeast Asia. Jesus God, the CIA is a terrorist organization. It just happens to be our terrorist organization, you see. So anyway, when Panetta says our policy is not to practice to mislead Congress, well, then let me ask you something, Leon. How come most of the funding that goes to the CIA is so-called black budget, where nobody knows anything about it? What do you mean it's not your policy to mislead Congress? That is specifically your policy, to mislead Congress, i.e. the American people. That's what you do, Leon. That's not a debate. I mean, come on. Everybody knows this. Jesus Christ, you guys have to classify when one of you goes to take a pee. Stop it, Leon. Stop it. Panetta also cited what he called, quote, a long tradition in Washington of making hay out of our business, end quote. Making hay out of your business. You mean when the agency murders people, overthrows governments, assassinates leaders? Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I guess you're right on that one. And then he goes on to say, see, when he says, there's a long tradition in Washington making hay out of our business. Okay. He followed that by saying, and today there are clouds in the sky and grass is growing. Oh, and there are cars outside. And water's wet. Okay, Leon. And then he adds, quote, I love this part. I love this part. You ready? Quote, we are an agency of high integrity. Jesus Christ. All right. Try again. We are an agency of high integrity. One more time. We are an agency of high integrity, professionalism, and dedication. Our task is to tell it like it is, even if that's not what people always want to hear. End quote. Leon! Leon! Oh, for Christ's sake, Leon, stop! Stop! I wonder how often Leon goes to confession. I really do. His priest must sit there and go, "Oy, Leon, oh my God, really? Okay. 80 our fathers, 22 acts of contrition and 10,000 Hail Marys. Leon!" Unbelievable. Oh well. A long tradition in the CIA of high integrity, professionalism, and dedication. High integrity, professionalism, yeah, you usually execute the people you want to execute. Dedication to the overthrowing of governments and destabilizing countries. Yeah, well, you know. See, that's the thing. He didn't say anything that wasn't true. But it's how the context is shifted. But you see, this is the United States. If a secret police agency like the CIA, anywhere else in the world, would have at its head issue a statement like this, the population would get very quiet and they would retreat to the coffee shops and they would sit there and they go, "Yes, that is very true. That's God. Oh, yeah." But in this country, when Panetta makes a statement like that, all the news media picks it up and the right wingers be, "Yeah, see, goddammit, they're an agency of high professionalism and integrity and you know, a dedication. Yes, they are, they are, they are." Meanwhile, people around the world who have felt the terror of the CIA sit back and think, "Ah, who is this guy? Who is this Leon Panetta? Who is this guy? What, does he not know this little round man? Where did he come from? Who is this man who says we are high professional peoples? What? Who is this crazy man? They come to our country. How many people do I have to tell you who have been murdered by this terrorist organization?" See, the rest of the world, as always, knows the truth. But us? The agency, they call it. Mm-hmm. I call it the exterminators, because that's what they're about. I mean, CIA is not about gathering intelligence, for Christ's sake. If that were the case, what happened on September 11, 2001? The function of the CIA is to act as a well-funded spook terrorist organization. You disagree? Oh, my God. Do you disagree with that? Who did the torturing? It wasn't the FBI. Who did the torturing?
Yeah, I don't know, Mike. Who did?
My God. Kathy, for the next 4 or 5 weeks, before you start the car every morning, just lift the hood and see if there are any wires underneath there, because I'm sure we are thoroughly pissing off people this evening.
You mean like the distribution cap and stuff?
Well, they haven't had one of those for a long time, but yeah, like that.
Or like the battery thingies?
The battery thingies. All right, we have a break here. We're going to come back and take
it. I'm still trying to figure out the wires that power the show.
I know, I know. Don't touch them! Oh, my God, don't touch them! We'll be back in a minute, and then we will talk with Rick and James and Betty. So stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Sing along.
Redefining Anger Management. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Yeah, this is a Malloy program. Rick is calling from Newport, Kentucky, listening on Sirius. Hey, Rick.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
Pretty good. Your voice sounds very pleasant, and thank you for letting me listen to the blues. It's a nice refreshing on the pentatonic scale. That was nice.
Yeah, I love Eric Clapton. I really do.
Yeah, that was cool. Thank you. Man, I tell you what, it blows me away because I listen to right and I listen to left.
Uh-huh.
And I think you all fall into the bullshit. The bullshit continues year after year after year.
Well, no, Rick, you can't use that word on the program. I realize you're listening on Sirius and Sirius and XM. You can, because it's a subscription service. It's not over the air per se. So I'm sorry, Rick. I don't know where you're going to go with your comments, but you can't do the BS word. You know, just now on the program, if you ever want to call back and, you know, just say BS. You know, I asked Kathy today, I can talk about oral sex, but I can't use the BJ word. You know, it's incredible, but that's just the rules and regs. I mean, you know, we have no choice on this. So anyway, thanks, Rick. I appreciate wherever you were going to go, but, you were going there the wrong way, pal. But I don't think the left and the right are BSers. I think the entire right is full of lies and deceit and garbage. And, you know, it's a sump pit of deception. Those of us who are on the left, so to speak, we're not, there's no leftist on radio in America. Come on. This is, there are some of us who are, lefty progressives, but there are no leftists here. Come on. James is calling Victorville, California. Hey, James.
Hey, Mike. I won't use those words, I promise.
Thank you. Thank you.
You forget to mention all the good the CIA has done here in America, like the smuggling of heroin in the bodies of U.S. soldiers.
Yeah.
In from Vietnam and, you know, nice little things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, talking about that guy, you know, why did it... You know, the left call everybody hypocrites, the right calls, I mean, hello, Pot, my name is Kettle. I mean, these guys saying, Nancy Pelosi knew about the torture.
Right.
The waterboarding is not torture. How do they say this all in the same sentence?
It's incredible. When Newt Gingrich is out there talking about how she has betrayed, and I've heard some other Republicans today saying this, that she knew about these techniques and betrayed America because she didn't talk about it. Well, where in the hell were they? That's A, and B is what you just said. They insist it's not torture. It's astonishing. But you know what, James? The American public, for the most part, is so brain dead that we don't have the ability. I mean, you do. I do. But the right wingers don't have the ability to say, wait a minute. That's not what you've been saying for the past 7 years. It's astonishing. It really is.
I really just can't believe this. And, you know, I mean, we got people out there like Bill O'Reilly. You know, speaking to him, you know, if his middle name was D, it would be Bill D. O'Reilly. And if you say that word real fast, you can't out.
Yeah, you're fading, James. I think you hit a bad cell. But no, I hear you loud and clear. Thanks, pal. Thanks for checking in. Oh, God. Betty is calling from Dallas, listening on XM. Hey, Betty.
Hi, Matt. For you, I love your show.
Well, thank you.
I love it. I wanted to say, I think it is so pathetic that the Republicans are trying to shift the focus from all of the atrocities that they committed under Bush to what Nancy Pelosi knew about torture. I mean, that's like comparing apples to oranges.
Right. And
so what?
And, you know, if Nancy Pelosi says it's in this regard, if Nancy Pelosi says it's red and the CIA says it's green, I'll have to go with Pelosi because, you know, I've only known about Pelosi for the past 3-4 years. I've known about the CIA for half a century. So, you know, I've got no choice in this. I don't like defending Nancy Pelosi because I feel like she let the country down by stopping impeachment hearings to begin in the House Judiciary Committee. So I'm stuck. But on the other hand, I know Republican tactics. And these filthy weasels, now I'll tell you something else too. Do this, Betty. I don't know if you ever watch these, rotten, television, talk shows on Sunday. You know, CBS, ABC, CNN, all this stuff.
Yes, if you,
if you do this weekend, this on Sunday, I'll bet you dollars to donut holes that you are going to see a guest after guest talking about Pelosi rather than talking about the torture that Dick Cheney absolutely authorized and used to sit in on and watch. This is,
isn't that pathetic?
And, well, it's the media in this country who are so willing to continue to be 10-cent whores. No, no, no offense to sex workers. Continue to be 10-cent whores, for the Republican Party. I don't get it. I don't get it. Oh, well, yeah, well, I sort of do. Hey, Betty, thanks. I'm getting ready for a break here. I appreciate you checking in. I watched closely today the, correspondents, the reporters, who, especially Dana Bash and, Candy Crowley and, obviously I was watching CNN a lot today, Ed Henry, all of these people with almost, I mean, my God, you would think they were about to have sex. The way they would stand up in front of the camera and just breathlessly, I mean, it was almost embarrassing to watch them talk about Nancy Pelosi, Nancy, as if they had some monumental revelation about the Speaker of the House. And you just want to say, hey, boys and girls, where were you for the past 8 years when the country was ripped to pieces by fascist sons of bitches who destroyed the... But if you do that, you know, your five-year-old looks up from playing with her Legos and says, Daddy, calm down. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. Six and a half past the hour. Malloy here. We are still focused a bit on this Pelosi story. It's just astonishing. Donald over here in Augusta, Georgia, writes in, Mike, watching this debate over who knew what and when is hilarious. Here we have Nancy Pelosi and Bob Graham having to defend themselves against the CIA. Isn't this the same CIA led by George Slam Dunk Tenet? These people, at the behest of Dick Cheney, produced an intelligence report full of lies and allowed this to be presented to the American people as truth. And now we are to take their word they were gosh-gee honest with Pelosi. These people lied to the entire nation and world, and the regressive party has managed to convince the media and enough chicken poop Democrats to once again wander off the beaten path into never-never land. What the hell has this country come to? Donald asks. We are stuck in an illegal war in Iraq with thousands of our soldiers dead and maybe up to a million Iraqis and still yet, and over 4 million more displaced, all on the word of the CIA. And yet we are now to believe this intelligence agency as it existed in the year 2002 is sacrosanct and can't be challenged. Really? No wonder America is as blanked up as it is. We have a country full of morons, and the biggest morons were running the country. This is something Hollywood couldn't even come up with. Well, yeah, and you know, the part that just makes it gets me so angry, it makes my teeth hurt, is the fact that this story, this non-story about Nancy Pelosi now is just sucking the oxygen out of everything. Watch what happens this weekend. Watch what, what's his name? Who's a little twit on Fox? He's got the Fox Sunday show.
Yeah, there's just so many. Who's a little twit on Fox? I need more information.
You know, the guy whose father is the big investigative reporter on CBS.
Still not helping.
Come on, you know. I mean, come on. Look, Kathy, I'm sorry. I'm soon going to have to get on Request or whatever the hell these drugs are. But come on. Well, what's his name?
It's kind of scary when you forget the name of the Alzheimer drug.
Come on. Tell me, what's the guy's name on?
Aricept.
No. That's
are we near a toilet?
That's not. You know who I mean. What's his name? Huh? No, not Sam Donaldson. The guy's on 60 Minutes. Now I could not recall it now if somebody waterboarded me. What? Chris. Oh, the guy, the kid, the one on Fox is named Chris. Somebody help. Huh? No. All right. Well, somebody emailed to me, you know, the guy on 60 Minutes whose son, Chris, Wallace! Chris, Mike Wallace. Oh, hold on a second. Let me go get some Aricept. That's, boy, I'll tell you, man, that is, oh no, now come the emails. Okay.
It's Kathy. I'm Kathy.
You're Kathy. Chris Wallace. Watch what happens on his program and the rest of them. Bob Schieffer will have somebody on. John King on CNN will have. I've got about 45 emails. Chris Wallace, Mike Wallace. Chris Wallace will have people on. It'll be these right wingers. I'm curious to see which one of these filthy Sunday talk shows will have John Boehner on. The minority, the guy who lost his job to Nancy Pelosi. Right? And I'm wondering, probably on this week with Judas Stephanopoulos, that'll be the one where they bring on Newt Gingrich, who also lost his job as Speaker of the House. Only he had to resign in disgrace. And it's just, oh well. You get the drift. You get the drift. Ryan is calling from Los Angeles. Hey, Ryan.
How you doing? I've been yelling Chris Wallace into the phone for a while now.
Yeah, I heard you. I know. It's awful. Did you ever have that? No, you're young. You don't have that problem, do you?
Not yet.
It's coming, pal. It's coming. All right. So.
I mean, I was just listening to you talking about the CIA and how the Republicans love to hold it up and they say, oh, look, see, Panetta's going around saying that it's this organization of high integrity, but is there some time when the CIA admitted their faults? I mean, what's going on here?
Right. The CIA, don't forget it was the CIA that was the object of investigations by the Church Committee back in 1974 because of the crimes and the deceit and the lies and the disruptions they caused here in the United States. I mean, my God, the CIA has been, as far as I'm concerned, irreversibly linked with the assassination of John Kennedy and probably Martin Luther King. But they don't lie. They don't lie. My God.
They just love to hold that up as this amazing intelligence agency that's keeping everybody safe, but their actions are just making everything worse. If we had a logical intelligence agency that was keeping our country safe, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. But this is a country that, as you said, the CIA goes around from country to country, you know, devaluing currencies.
Overthrowing governments. but they don't lie about a briefing they gave to Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Oh, my God. What's this? Fired officer believed CIA lied to Congress. Oh, yeah, I saw this today. This is from Washington Post 3 years ago. A senior CIA official meeting with Senate staff in a secure room at the Capitol last June 2005 promised repeatedly that the agency did not violate or seek to violate international treaty that bars cruel, inhumane, or degrading treatment of detainees during interrogations it conducted in the Middle East and elsewhere. But another CIA officer, the agency's deputy inspector general, who for the previous year had been probing allegations of criminal mistreatment by the CIA and its contractors in Iraq and Afghanistan, was startled to hear what she considered an outright falsehood, according to people familiar with her account. It came during the discussion of legislation that would constrain the CIA's interrogations. The left paw. Thank you. There's the link to the Washington Post story. That, you know, 3 years ago. I mean, it's just crazy stuff. But everybody knows, except people like the left paw who boom, you know, comes up with the story. Everybody knows that the CIA is chock-a-block with the worst goddamn liars ever put together. These are Bush appointees. These are people embedded. They have civil service jobs now. They're there forever. They will continue to lie. They're swine and scum because they are right-wingers. And if you go back over the history of the Central Intelligence Agency, it was put together to process intelligence that came in from spies around the world after World War II, and it turned into a terrorist organization. You deny that? Is there anyone that says it is not, by definition, by any definition, a terrorist organization? Oh, my God. This is what we do in this country, though, isn't it? We delude ourselves. Oh, well, no, the CIA, that's about apple pie, mom, and the flag. Oh, and they're all Christians, too, so that makes it all okay. You know, it is amusing, isn't it, to sit around here and snicker and laugh about the CIA and their attempts to paint Nancy Pelosi as a liar about this. I don't know what she lies about, but she didn't lie about this. It's amusing in a way until you stop and think who you're talking about. You're talking about the Central Intelligence Agency. You're talking about people that have an organization, I should say, that has no problem, none, in committing the most atrocious crimes, war crimes, murder, death, destruction. But it's our terror organization, so that makes it okay, right?
The Flying Monkey Right. It's Mike Malone.
21 past the hour. Sheila sends in, this is Reuters, May 2004. This is May 2009, 5 years ago. Members of the United States Congress saw new images of violence and sexual humiliation from a U.S.-run Iraqi prison on Wednesday in a closed viewing. One lawmaker likened to a descent into, quote, the wings of hell, end quote. Lawmakers said images showed inmates apparently being coerced to commit sodomy, wounds possibly from dog bites, a number of dead bodies, and examples of, quote, sadistic torture, end quote, and sexual humiliation, quote, unquote. Some top Republicans urged that the still pictures and the videos not be released, saying they could endanger U.S. forces overseas. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, a Tennessee Republican, said, quote, what we saw is appalling. It is consistent with the photos that you've seen in the press to date. They go beyond that in many ways in terms of the various activities that are depicted, end quote. Richard Durbin, Illinois Democrat, said, quote, there were some awful scenes. It felt like you were descending into one of the wings of hell, and sadly it was our own creation. And when you think of the sadism, the violence, the sexual humiliation, after a while you just turn away, you can't take it anymore, end quote. Durbin added, quote, I still cannot believe that this happened without the knowledge of those at higher levels, end quote. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld warned last week the pictures could worsen a scandal that ignited international outrage, yada, 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 yada. Many lawmakers said the images were similar to photographs shown around the world of naked prisoners stacked in a pyramid or positioned to simulate sex acts at the Abu Ghraib prison near Baghdad, but they said some of these were even more shocking. Lawmakers said they did not see examples of outright rape, murder, or abuses of children. Oh, yeah? Okay. Durbin described a picture of a man with half his head blown off, lying on the ground in blood and gore. An Islamic website on Tuesday showed an American civilian, Nick Berg, of suburban Philadelphia, being beheaded by an al-Qaeda leader in Iraq in revenge for the satanic degradation of Iraqi prisoners. Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Pat Roberts, a Kansas Republican whose committee had a closed-door hearing with Stephen Cambone, Defense Undersecretary of Intelligence, said there were, quote, 44 CIA people in and out of Abu Ghraib prison a lot during the evening over a period of time, end quote. Really? I wonder what the 44 CIA people were doing. Poker tournament. Congress is trying to establish whether the mistreatment was encouraged by intelligence personnel to, quote, soften up, end quote, prisoners for interrogations. Blah, 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 blah. Representative Jane Harman, California Democrat, said the new pictures showed, quote, cruel and sadistic torture, end quote. She described as, quote, gut-wrenching, end quote, images of nearly naked men, quote, handcuffed to a wall, beating his head against the wall, recoiling back and forward, trying to knock himself unconscious and avoid having to live through the experience, end quote. Lawmakers said the images were shown fairly rapidly and with minimal explanation. Senator James Jeffords, Vermont Independent, said the pictures were, quote, horrible, but they go by so fast, terrible scenes. It was click, 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 end quote. Reuters, May 13th, 2004. But by God, these CIA people told Nancy Pelosi the truth. When they said to her in 2002, Nancy, we're going to torture people. And you know what? 7 years from now, if you say we didn't tell you this, we're just going to embarrass the hell out of you. CIA. Jesus Christ. If there is one organization in this country that likens us to the worst part of Nazi atrocities, it is the CIA. It is the CIA. Do you understand that? And that little bit that I just read to you, thanks, Sheila, that was from, I guess, that was from 5 years ago. 5 years ago. Dead bodies. People with their heads bashed in. Why? I mean, this was in Iraq. What was? You know exactly what it was. We have people in our so-called intelligence agencies that are sadists, that are sick son of a bitches that in a rational society would either be locked up for the rest of their lives or terminated with extreme prejudice because of the damage they do to the entire country. You know, a murderer who kills somebody on the streets causes untold grief to the family. But one of these sons of bitches causes untold grief to the entire country. Ah, but they told Nancy Pelosi the truth.
The CIA simply has no more job. Oh my God, it's mother, you can fix this. We rock over mixes, not 666s. Yo, this is a message to all that can hear it. If you've got secret information, now's the time to share it. Call your congresswoman, your senator, your mayor. It's time for all the scholars to unite with all the players. Rearrange and see, times are definitely changing, G. They used to tap the phone, now they tapping while you paging me. It's crazy, B, yet it's plain to see who the enemy, who's left, the NRA. The ATF, the AMA, okay, it's all irrelevant, cause in the new millennium, there'll be no central intelligence.
Where is the outrage? Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
Mother, do you think she's good enough? All right, 25 before the hour. And as promised, the next episode here of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe, written and produced by Bob Alexander and presented by the Mighty Malloy Radio Players. Maestro, if you would, please.
It's time once again for Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe. Tonight's thrilling episode, Death in the Land of the Midnight Sun or Fool's Gold.
Hey, Truth Seekers. It was a cold night here in the North Georgia mountains. Kathy and I had just finished Friday night's program and were sitting in front of the fireplace unwinding with a couple of glasses of wine.
Can you believe Sarah Palin was asked to be a part of the Republicans' National Council for a New America? I didn't think crazy worked out for him that well. Didn't you have a run-in with the Palin last summer?
Yeah, that was some story. No, it's not that kind of story. This is a flashback. Yeah, that's better. It all started early last August. The smart money was betting McCain was going to pick Lieberman as his running mate. But I had been hearing rumors about a mysterious woman from Alaska who was going to get the nod. It seems the Republican elite were cynically trying to woo disgruntled Hillary supporters over to the dark side by placing a woman on the ticket. That only proved to me two things. One, you don't have to be very smart to be a member of the elite crowd. You just need money, and lots of it. And two, I was going up to Wasilla to scoop the mainstream media. I took a cab to a motel on the outskirts of town, checked in, and called to make arrangements to interview the governor. Her secretary said she could see me that evening. On the cab ride over to her house, I couldn't tell if I was looking at the Aurora Borealis or the lights from exploding meth labs bouncing off the clouds. The cab dropped me off at the foot of the driveway, and I started up toward the house. She was waiting for me on the porch, and the front door was open. From 30 feet away, she looked pretty good. From 10 feet away, she made you want to back off about 20 feet.
Mr. Miller, how good of you to come.
The name's Malloy, Governor.
So you're not Mr. Dennis Miller from Fox?
No, ma'am. I'm from the Mike Malloy program.
Oh, well, that's different then. I've heard about you. Sparky, could you come here for a minute and bring Doc and Snoopy with you?
Three large, down-vest-wearing thugs came out of the house. The look in their eyes spelled trouble, but with my dyslexia, I couldn't tell for sure.
Boys, could you please beat Mr. Marlboro here into unconsciousness? I've got a few phone calls to make. When y'all are finished playing with him, drag him down and tie him up in the rumpus room. And Chico and Zeppo, gas up the turkey grinder. We might be needing it. We'll talk soon, Mr. Marlin. By golly, you betcha.
She winked and turned and went back into the house while the goons came at me with everything they had. I don't know which one of them landed the lucky punch, because that familiar black hole opened up again and I checked out pretty early in the game.
Maverick, starring James Garner and Jack Kelly.
I came to in a room with knotty pine paneling, with a big TV blaring away in the corner. She was sitting on the couch, one eye on James Garner and the other on me. I guess she figured out I was awake when I spit a tooth out onto the parquet floor.
How was your nap, Mr. Mulrooney? Feeling mavericky, I hope. Up for a little chat?
Not really. Look, my head feels like I just went 15 rounds with an industrial compactor.
Oh, you liberal socialists are all the same. It's all about you, isn't it? I'm tired. I'm cold. I'm bleeding. Me, me, me. Well, that's what you get for palling around with the terrorists. And that's what you get for trying to stop me from being a heartbeat away from the presidency of this gosh darn great country of ours.
Look, you keep singing, sister, but I'm not buying any of it. You people have just about destroyed this country.
Oh, good golly gracious sakes. No, you've got it all wrong, Mr. Mallory. President Bush has kept us safe. Well, I remember it was just after 9/11, and I asked my husband Spunky if the potato salad tasted kind of anthraxy to him, because the grocer down at the A&P had hired a dark-skinned fella, and I thought he might be one of those godless Muslims, don't you know, who might have been putting some anthrax in the Hellmans. And Spooky reminded me that George Bush and John Ashcroft rounded up everybody who looked even just the teeniest bit Arab-y and locked them up good and tight. So no, Mr. Mulray, you've got it completely backward there. And another thing, that good patriot, Mr. Dick Cheney, told me that if I studied really hard and learned all my lines, I'd get to be president after poor Mr. McCain passed away during his second year in office, and then I'd serve out the remainder of his term and get reelected.
I listened to her
again,
prattle along like she had a lifetime subscription to the I've Lost My Goddamn Mind Gazette when she did something that caught my attention. She was holding a hypodermic needle.
But now it's time for you to take another nap. We don't want you getting all cranky and turn into a Mr. Grumpy Gus on the plane now, do we? We're going to take a little trip to see Mr. Moneybags. He'll know what to do with you.
She came toward me with the needle. I said a few appropriate prayers to whatever powers in the universe that might be listening. I felt the hypo bite into my neck and thought, so long, Mike. It's been fun.
Has Mike Malloy finally met his match with the Mob Barker of the North? Will he escape from the clutches of the Ice Queen? Is this the end of Mike Malloy? Well, if you've been paying attention, you know this is a flashback. Of course everything turns out okay. But be sure to tune in next time anyway for the thrilling conclusion to Death in the Land of the Midnight Sun or Fool's Gold.
Oh, it's a two-parter. Oh, no! That means... Why, of course it does! We're not on tomorrow or Sunday. It'll be next week! Oh, no! Let's do it on Monday, all right? I hate that. I hate two-parters. I can't stand it. I used to hate that when I was a kid. Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe, written and produced by Bob Alexander and performed by... The Mighty Malloy Radio Players. Well, that was a nice break here for yours truly. But let's get back to the screaming and yelling, shall we? Carlene is calling from Marion, Illinois. Hey, Carlene.
Hey, great show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. About a week or maybe 2 weeks ago, you were talking about Franklin Roosevelt, and you said that he knew about the concentration camps with the Jews in them.
Yeah.
And that really bothered me. I really like him a lot. And I just wondered where I could read more about that.
You have access to a computer. Just go to any search engine. Google would be a good one. Type in Roosevelt and then type in the plus sign and then type in Jewish or Nazi death camps.
Okay.
And you will get more than you can stand. Trust me. It wasn't just Roosevelt. The entire government of the United States knew what was going on. There was a big debate in Congress. I assume it's in Congress. It might have been just in the War Department, as it was called back then, whether or not the camps should be bombed. As the United States was bombing the bejesus out of Germany, that whether or not these missions over Germany should include bombing runs over the death camps, because it was clearly apparent what was going on. Prior to, and that was vetoed, by the way, prior to the actual start of World War II for the United States, there was an infamous ship, and I'm sure somebody will email me the name of it. It was a passenger ship that I believe left from Potsdam and sailed. It was full of Jewish refugees trying to get out of Germany. It sailed all the way across the Atlantic. Their destination was Havana. When they got to Cuba, the government there, Batista, refused to allow the Jews to disembark. So they had to stay on the ship, and the conditions on the ship were becoming horrible. So then the ship headed north. It went to several ports along the East Coast, and each time it was refused by orders of the president. And the president at the time was Roosevelt. And finally, the ship returned to Germany, and the people who were on that ship wound up, there is no question, in the death camps. Now, that was just one example. There were many examples. One thing, and I think a lot of people, Carlene, are not aware of this, there was a strong movement in this country in the 30s to align with the Germans, that and some prominent Americans who were very anti-Semitic, Henry Ford, who wrote about the Jewish menace, as he called it, Lindbergh, Charles Lindbergh, members of the DuPont family. So many American industrialists at the time were about as anti-Semitic, and I mean anti-Jewish, as you could possibly get. So there's a whole history out there that, you know, for anyone who really wants to find out what we were about back in the 30s, it's, it'll make your skin crawl. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, Carlene, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back.
And learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the line of a dark black night.
He's the voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. We're coming back to your calls here in just a second. There was another thing, typically sick, disgusting right-wing Republican garbage mouth freak, and that is Republican National Committee Chair Michael Steele was addressing the NRA's convention in Phoenix today, of course, and he stood up there, this complete Uncle Tom. Now, I realize as a white man, I'm not supposed to say that. That's up to black folk to make that decision as to who's an uncle and who isn't. But let me just say that a couple of our listeners of the black persuasion have told me right on when I've mentioned this before and have given me permission. So, the Uncle Tom that Michael Steele really is stood his ugly ass up in front of the National Rifle Association convention in Phoenix and said the following: the Democrats in Washington want to take away the rights of law-abiding Americans to buy and own guns and are ready to mount an assault on that freedom. Yes, goddammit! Can you believe this? You see, this is what they did to Al Gore back in 1999, 2000. Yeah, the Democrats are going to take away your guns. I'm just wondering, is there one member of the NRA that has an IQ above room temperature? Just one. Because again, this is like telling the religious right that as soon as you elect me a Republican, I'm going to work to get a national prayer amendment. I'm going to work to get a an amendment to the Constitution banning same-sex marriage. I am going to work to overturn Roe v. Wade. I'm going to do all this stuff. And the right, you know, the right-wing crazy Christians go for it every single election cycle. You know, they're out there with their signs of aborted zygotes, you know, just screaming and mouth-breathing and clawing at each other to get near the camera. And the Republican gets elected, and what does he or she do? Nothing. It's a scam. And they use the same scam with these poor, degenerate, brain-dead members of the NRA. Boys, wake up. Goddamn, wake up, will you? Or don't. It's up to you. Jesus, I can remember when I was a member of the NRA 1,000 years ago, and I subscribed mainly to get their magazine because it had such good ideas about conservation and preservation and you know, how to properly train somebody to use a shotgun and the difference in gauges and the difference in calibers and you know, when to wear a sling and with, just on and on and on. And then it was taken over by crazy people. Absolutely crazy people. All of y'all who are in the NRA right now are out of your goddamn minds. If you want to own guns, you think you have to join the NRA? That's like saying if you want to get old, you have to join the AARP. Are you out of your minds? Go buy your guns the way I have. So there's Michael Steele. Democrats want to take away your right to own a gun. Steele told thousands of people at the NRA convention that the Obama administration has a secret plan. He does. And he also, Obama, has this idea that drug crime in Mexico could be prevented by banning guns in the United States. Yes. And he's going to do it. He's going to take your guns. He's going to get your guns. And then he's going to get your women. And then he's going to get your crotch. And then he's going to get, oh, I don't know, what else do you have that's of any value? Your pickup trucks. How many times does Obama have to say that he respects the Second Amendment? He respects the right of citizens to keep and bear arms. But he favors what he calls common sense gun laws. Oh, he favors gun laws. God damn, he's coming for your guns. Michael Steele says Democrats are using violence reported in the news. Yes, we are. To frighten the public. Yes, we are. And push proposals that would take away the guns of law-abiding people. Yes, yes. Oh, yes, Michael. Oh, God, that's what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing. And you know what? It's bad enough that Michael Steele is such an Uncle Tom, such an ass kisser, so willing to kowtow to the white boys. He really is. I mean, he threw himself at Rush Limbaugh's smelly feet, didn't he? Didn't he? Messa, I'm sorry, Messa, I didn't mean to talk bad about you. Oh, beat me, whip me, I'm sorry, Messa. Isn't that what he did? Yes, it is exactly what he did. It is precisely what he did. So there he stands in front of the NRA. What do you want to bet that membership is about 98% white? Or, okay, 100% white. There he stands! And the sad part is, Michael Steele probably has more education and a higher IQ than anyone who stood there listening to him, but he knows how to play to the audience, doesn't he? He knows how to play to the audience. He'll call Rush Limbaugh Massa, and he'll stand in front of the NRA and say, you know, the Democrats are coming to take your guns from you. Listen to me. Don't I sound clear and precise in my enunciations? They are coming for you. And the white boy's out there going, yeah, you know, he might be black, but, you know, he's making sense. I know a couple black people back home. And, you know, they agree. They're good people, even though they're black. Right? You've heard that before, haven't you? Michael Steele warning the white people that the white people are coming to take their guns. You gotta laugh. You got to laugh. You've got to say to yourself, this is funny. This is funny. I guess. I don't know. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us if you can. The hour. If you want to get on the program tonight, there is, let me say, one open line here, so join us, 877-996-2556 is the number. Barbara is calling from San Rochelle, California, is that right?
Oh, San Rochelle.
Oh, hey, we're listening on Green 960. Welcome to the program, Barbara.
Thank you so much. I listen to you every night, and I'm so happy that you're the anti-venom for Fox News.
Well,
thank you, Mike.
that's a good thing to be. I appreciate you being there every night.
Oh, well, thank you. And I just wanted to ask you if maybe you can shed some light on something I've been thinking about. But, you know, Rupert Murdoch always makes me so irritated because, you know, he just pimps these guys like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. For his own agenda, he's extremely conservative. He's not American, and it's just sickening to me. And how did he buy up so much of our media in this country?
Well, that's nice.
Was this during the regulation, deregulation under Reagan?
No, this had to do with Newt Gingrich. Rupert Murdoch is an Australian. He built his empire there, and then in the United Kingdom and other parts of the United Kingdom. I'm sorry. He started in Australia and then went to the UK. He has built his empire in the English-speaking world. He also tried to get satellite transmission over China, but the Chinese decided that he was too much of a fascist. They had the franchise in China for fascism. They didn't want any competition from him. But he supported Newt Gingrich with lots and lots and lots of money back in the 90s. And the quid pro quo was that Gingrich was to introduce legislation that would exempt foreigners from owning media in this country, which is always has been against the law for obvious reasons. And I believe that Gingrich did make an attempt to introduce the legislation. If he did, of course, it went nowhere. So the only other alternative was for Murdoch to become an American citizen, which he has become. He has American citizenship. And therefore, what he is doing is completely legal. But Murdoch is, by any definition, he's a corporatist. I won't go so far as to call him a fascist because I don't think Murdoch cares about the politics. He's only interested in the money. But in order to make sure that the money keeps going, he wants government to be run by corporations, hence a Mussolini-style corporatist. So I hope that answers it for you. He is an American citizen now. How about that?
Oh, I didn't know, and that's just so scary.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? But Gingrich, it was one of Murdoch's publishing houses then, who provided. I believe I'm getting this right. This was 15, 16 years ago, but it was one of Murdoch's publishing houses in the United States, a subsidiary of one of his British companies, I believe, that Gabe Newt, a hefty advance for Newt to write either his first or third or fifth book, whatever it was. So Newt Gingrich and Rupert Murdoch have a long, steamy history. As a matter of fact, the way Sean Hannity got on to the new Fox News channel after Murdoch set it up was through Newt Gingrich, because here in Atlanta, when Sean worked here in Atlanta and Gingrich was a representative from the 4th, I believe, district, and then the 7th district here in Georgia, Hannity, who had just moved here from Huntsville, Alabama, made it his business to get inside Newt's trousers and do anything for Newt Gingrich that he could possibly do. And he did a good job. And the quid pro quo there was when Murdoch set up Fox News Channel, Newt leaned into his ear and said, Mr. Murdoch, my boy down here is looking for a job. Will you give him? And that's the only way that Hannity ever made it. Hannity is no more television quality than some farm barnyard pig. But he got put there as the payoff to Newt. So you see how tight these circles are. And then Newt Gingrich comes out today calling Nancy Pelosi every single name he can think of. The other thing, of course, I'm sure you know about Newt, that he approached his wife when she was recovering from cancer surgery and asked if he could get a reduction in the alimony he was paying her. She was in a hospital bed. He's a serial, like so many of these right wingers. I think he's been married three times, but his last marriage, the woman he's married to now, was the intern he was boinking when Clinton was, playing with Monica. Newt was boinking this other intern who worked on the, agriculture subcommittee. See, it just goes on and on and on and on. I mean, it never stops. It never stops, Barbara. If you try to run a flow chart on these people, you'll go mad, or you'll wind up with a radio talk show. Don't go there.
Okay. Well, good for you, Mike. Good on you. Thanks for being there.
Okay. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in, Barbara. It never fails to astonish me. How many cow pies Newt Gingrich has one of his body appendages stuck deeply into? They're all over the place. Newt Gingrich, see, we here in Georgia know this guy. We've known him for a long, long time. My knowledge of Newt Gingrich goes back to the 80s. He was in, if I'm not mistaken, he was in the Georgia House. He was in the Georgia House Representatives before he ever made a bid for national office. And, he's an arrogant twit. He's the worst kind. I've talked to people took classes from him when he was a professor at University of West Georgia out in Carrollton, Georgia. And to the last, guy and gal that I knew who took courses from him, and a lot of people did because, University of West Georgia is, it was called West Georgia College at the time. It was not a university. The tuition was cheap. It's close to Atlanta, close enough. So, just by circumstance, some of the people I know took classes from him, and to the last guy and girl, they all said the same thing. This guy was a complete arrogant twit, who fancied himself almost like a young Caesar, Julius. Or a young Napoleon. He had all these grandiose schemes of just complete, there was going to be the Newt Gingrich Institute of World Everything. He was just arrogant beyond belief. Well, you know, when he came up with the Contract for America and his word list and instructed all these candidates back in the 94 election how to talk to the dumbasses out in the American body politic. And of course, it worked. Gingrich is a student of how the Nazis came to power in Germany. A bloodless a coup. You know, no, there was no war. Not like Russia or the Soviet Union. Not like China. Not like here. I mean, the Nazis just came right in, you know, and did it legally. And Gingrich is a student of that, the method, the language, manufacturing threats, and that, you know, straw men, only worse than straw men. The Nazis used the Jews. Gingrich used liberals. Same thing. Same thing. Had Gingrich had his way, there would have been death camps set up in this country. God only knows, or somebody only knows, who would have gone there. But Gingrich is a psychopath. an absolute, with these delusions of grandeur, this toxic narcissism that is Gingrich. He leaks it. When he walks around a room, he leaves wet footprints. That is dripping toxic narcissism. This guy is, have I said he's out of his mind? I did? I said that 10 minutes ago? Okay, Kathy, thanks. I don't like him. I just don't like him. It's scum like Newt Gingrich. Scum like Newt Gingrich. And Karl Rove and Lee Atwater, who have so poisoned, just poisoned, the political system here, with the help, of course, of pigs like Limbaugh and Hannity and Savage and the rest of these guys, just absolutely poisoned the political system. But I digress. All right, we have a break, right? We have a break here? Okay, we are going to take a break. We'll come back and take your calls. Open line again, 877-996-2556. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. Hey, if you think about subscribing to the Malloy Show podcast, do so soon, if you would. We're okay for the next few months, but not if we are not adding subscribers every week. So go to MikeMalloy.com and follow the links and the things to do to become a podcast member. It costs you 25 cents a show. For people who are already subscribers, let me mention again, the new Malloy Uncensored Mailbag video is up. You know the section to go to and check it out. This one's a doozy. It's just incredible. They're getting weirder and weirder. But that's fine because, and this thing, you know, I started thinking, well, the people that send me these real weird things, once they find out that they're up on the internet, or I mean up on my site, they won't, it'll inhibit. But it didn't occur to me, the people who send these things obviously are not subscribers, so they have no way of seeing these videos. So anyway, if you are a subscriber, go. It's up. Ben Birch put it up today. It's at MikeMalloy.com. Follow the links, and, well, you know what to do. And if you're not a subscriber, that in itself is worth a quarter of a program that it costs to become a podcast subscriber. Hope you'll do it. I really do. Mark is calling from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on Sirius. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mike. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. I've been listening to your show now for a little over a year, man. Never a dull moment, man.
Yeah, you got that right.
And I'm an avid fan of Sun Tzu.
Yeah.
And I've read the book several times now, and
The Art of War.
That is correct.
Uh huh.
And one thing I don't think we've managed to really understand yet is that wars are not just physical. They're in the end there is always has to be a political objective as well.
That's true.
And I don't think we've learned that lesson yet.
Well, maybe we haven't, but meaning the proletariat, the proles, the people that actually pick up the guns and die and bleed and come home with half our heads shot off, to us, the war is about mom and the flag and dad and the white picket fence and apple pie and preserving freedom and democracy. To the people who order the wars, it is all about what you're talking about. It's all political. It's all about power and conquest. And people who put on the uniform and take the weapon are nothing, absolutely nothing to these people, to the ones that order the wars. They come up with a system of awards. We'll put this ribbon on you if you survive. We'll give it to your widow or your widower if you don't survive. But there is no concern about the people who are shot to pieces. There's no concern. And those people honestly believe that they're fighting for something of value. They are told, like we are told, yeah, we got to go to war to preserve American interests or the American way of life. I remember, Mark, during the 80s, during the Reagan years, where we were told over and over again by traitorous dogs like Oliver North that if we didn't stop the Nicaraguans in Nicaragua, they would come roiling through the streets of Houston, Texas. And it's insane stuff. So, yeah. Reading Sun Tzu is a good thing to read. It's a very good thing to read to understand. Although he believed in war. That's why he called it an art.
Yeah, he did. He said war is essential to the survival of a state and therefore must be taken very seriously.
That's true.
I don't think that it is clear that we do not understand what makes our enemy tick. It's also clear that nowadays, even in ancient times, you cannot rely on overwhelming military superiority to win a war. Ultimately, the object of winning a war is to make the enemy peaceful, and that is clearly not what is happening.
To make the enemy peaceful.
Yeah, the ultimate idea of winning a war is if you truly win a war, the enemy will be peaceful. After the war is done, you not only have to beat them on the battlefield, but you have to beat them politically as well.
But wasn't he, if I'm not mistaken, he was like, oh my God, almost 3,000 years ago, in China, wasn't he, when he referred to your enemy is, once you conquer your enemy becomes peaceful. It's a matter of translation, I guess, but don't you think he meant subdued?
Well, yeah, subdued, but you also have to win them over politically. You can't just pound on them with weapons and shells and expect them to be peaceful.
That was kind of the Vietnam War of aggression that we launched against those people. The hearts and minds thing. You got to win their hearts and minds. You can't just defeat them militarily. And of course, we weren't able to do any of that.
Not only that, like the mode of our typical mode of operation in American warfare is we despite our perceived military power, the way it usually works is this: is we'll bomb the crap. I can say crap, can I?
Oh yeah. Okay. Hey, let me put you on hold, Mark, because I've got to do a break here. We'll put you on hold and we'll come back and finish this right after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy.
It is 25 before the hour. Right before the break, we're talking with Mark in Louisville about how the war on terror isn't winnable, right?
Yeah, that's right. At least the way we're fighting it now. Generally, what I'm a former Marine myself, and generally the mode of operation is, we'll go into an area and we'll shell it to kingdom come, and then we'll drop troops there. But one thing that does is that alerts everybody for 100 miles around where you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did in Vietnam. You know, we would shell this place. We'd land troops there, and then all the Viet Cong would do is just put a couple of insurgents there, and they pretty much controlled the engagement.
Right.
And chose when and when not to fight.
I think Norman Schwarzkopf probably was the most recent American military chief who was a student of Sun Tzu, because one of the principles is overwhelming force. And that's of Sun Tzu. And that's exactly what Schwarzkopf, if you remember, during Gulf War I, the buildup, nobody did anything until the U.S. How many people did we have massed in Kuwait and for a while in Saudi Arabia? It was an overwhelming force. So that when the starting gun was fired, there was no question about what was going to happen. So you know you're right. When you send 22,000 people plus the 30,000 I guess we already have there into Afghanistan, as Barack Obama is doing, what you are setting those soldiers up for is death, destruction, injury. You're setting up people back here in the United States for more grief and agony, more realization that Afghanistan is not where you go if you want to win a battle. You go there to get defeated. There's no way. The only way to handle Afghanistan is to put, I don't know, pick a number, Mark, you'd be better at this than me, 600, 700,000 people on the border, with where? On one border, you've got Iran, the other border, you've got Pakistan. Where in the hell are you going to put them? But if you had a place, 700,000, 800,000, maybe a million U.S. soldiers, and then sweep through Afghanistan. That's the only way. There's nothing going to happen there except more death and destruction. Do you agree?
I would agree. You probably couldn't subdue Afghanistan.
Oh my God!
With a million troops.
No, well, probably not.
On the Schwarzkopf point, though, Schwarzkopf was confronted with a more traditional type of military that we were designed to fight.
Right. That was not going to turn into a guerrilla war by any stretch of the imagination. And Schwarzkopf knew it. Part of that was terrain. Part of it was the nature of the Iraqis, the nature of their leadership. The leadership of Iraq were a bunch of scum-sucking criminals who had about as much courage as, Karl Rove. And when you are, going back to Sun Tzu, when you're faced with an enemy like that, there is no question about what's going to happen. You study the moral fiber or the courage of your adversary. And that's one of the things upon which you base your tactics, correct?
That's right. Sun Tzu says, know yourself and your enemy, and in 100 battles, you will never be in peril.
There you go. There you go.
But in the case of this, in a war like this, even our boy Bush said, "Well, this is a new kind of war," but he's still trying to fight it like we're fighting the Russians, and it's just simply not going to work. We're gonna combined with our economic policy and our military strategy, we're gonna bleed our treasury dry, trying to subdue these people if we haven't done so already.
And we're also going to destroy one way or another. And Mark, thank you. I got to move on. We're going to destroy one way or another another generation of young Americans who are going to be conned into believing. And Afghanistan is all Barack Obama's now. 8 years ago it was, or 7 years ago it was, the Bush crime family that ordered the hit when it should have been. It should have been if we were really serious about getting the people who had come to this country and bombed this country, if we're going to, again, let's stipulate we're going to believe the story. You know, if we don't believe the story of what happened on 9/11, all of this is just nonsense. But if we're going to believe it, we should have handled it the same way Clinton handled the first World Trade Center bombers. It becomes a police action. It becomes an international police action. We had the sympathy of the entire world. Iranians were in the street demonstrating in favor of the United States on September 11, 2001 because of what they had just witnessed on their television screens. So, but Bush and Cheney and the rest of these bastards, no. They were no more interested in finding the people. Osama bin Laden, finding the people around whom they had constructed the fantasy of this attack than they were in finding that they had open lesions on the bottoms of their feet. That was not the objective. The objective was to create an imaginary outside force. This is what Goebbels and Himmler and the German high command, they understood Sun Tzu too, perfectly. So, oh my God, I'm going crazy. Mark, I wish you wouldn't have brought all this stuff up. It's just making me insane. Ay, 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 ay. Tom is calling from Bullhead City, Arizona. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, hey, this is Tom from Bullhead City, Arizona. And briefly, Mark is missing the point that you cannot quell the human spirit through war and force. And Barb was a breath fresher. But anyway, I called the other night about...
wait a minute. I missed what you said. Mark missed the point how?
Because... you cannot quell the human spirit with war and force like that. The war on terror, the war on drugs, you know.
Yeah, but I think that was Mark's point.
Okay, I just want to make sure because listening and I hope you got it.
Right, I think that's exactly what
he's talking about, strategies and
no, that he that. But he was making that point, just like how did we defeat the Japanese? We dropped nuclear weapons on them. So I mean, there is nothing more complete than nuclear annihilation. So no, I think Mark was making the same point you are.
Right. But anyway, you're only going to give me a few minutes, and I want to remind you, I was called in about grinding up Republicans, and especially log cabin Republicans the other day. I wanted to bury them up to their necks in sand out here in Bullhead City and feed them corn and water.
Okay, but why are you calling me again about the same thing?
Well, because I have a revelation.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
It would taste terrible. Greed and selfishness just taste terrible.
Yeah.
So it'd be terrible to feed the homeless that greedy, selfish sausage.
Okay.
Oh, Mike, don't you remember? Anyway, the other part is that we don't need to be, you know, everybody's all PO'd about Obama and what we're doing as far as compromising, and I hate it too. But,
yeah?
The thing is, we got to stick together. This is general quarters, all hands on deck. This is not a drill. I want every swinging dick.
No. You can't do that. You can't say stuff like that. Come on, Tom. All right, listen, pal. Take a break from calling the show for a while, okay? I mean, you know what the rules are here. You can't do that. And I'm sorry, but if you don't know the rules, then you have been listening enough. So just don't call for a while, all right? Just chill. has our bleep button reset yet? Because Paula in Bayonne is waiting. Okay. Paula in Bayonne, New Jersey is calling.
Hi, Mike. And I know the irony is you're afraid you're always going to have to use that button for me.
No, I completely trust. Well, all right. Yeah.
I think it's just the New Jersey stereotype.
I think it is. I think it is. Yeah. Yeah.
The F word is it's an adjective where I come from.
It is. It's just down here. It's just a descriptive term.
Yeah. What the hell? What was I going to say? You know, all this talk about the torture and the photos and everything. What I want to know is, why isn't anybody doing anything? Can't we get prosecutions going already? Investigations, something.
That's
you
what
know, all this stuff about, you know, Nancy Pelosi and what the CIA. Obviously, crimes were committed.
Right. Well, it's not up to Nancy Pelosi. It's up to Eric Holder. It's up to let me put you on hold. We'll come right back because we got to take a break here. We're not at that point yet. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. My bad. I thought we were at a break, Paula. It's not up to Nancy Pelosi. It's up to Eric Holder and Barack Obama. And if they're not going to do anything, if Barack or Holder, if they're not going to start an investigation or a special prosecutor, then what's going to happen? Because if the appropriate committees in the House or the Senate started it, then there would be screams of partisanship. You see what I'm saying?
Now, my question is that why he's not releasing the photos?
Could be. Hold on. Yeah, hold on now, Paula, because now I got to take a break. We'll come back and pick this up on the other side of the break. Stay with us. Rock and roll, and they play all night long. We'll dance all night long. But you just want to sit and listen to the radio. You just want to sit and listen to the radio. You just want to sit and listen to the radio. All you ever want to do is listen to your
I need a hole in my head. Give up my whole day's wages to get this hole in the wall.
It is 10 before the hour. Thanks to the crew tonight and all this week. Ben Birch, Kathy Bay, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and Bruce Enberg. The executive producer of All This Mess is Catherine Bay. The producer of and writer of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe is Bob Alexander, and it's performed by the Mighty Malloy Radio Players. Back to Bayonne, New Jersey. Paula, now, where were we?
Well, I think where we left off is I about to ask, is that why Obama is backtracked on releasing the photos? Because he doesn't want to go ahead with prosecution. Getting down to the nitty-gritty of what happened and putting the people responsible in jail.
It's getting harder and harder for me, if I ever could, understand what Barack Obama's motivations are. Either he is the type of poker player you'd never want to get in a game with, or he's just winging it. I don't know what to think. On the one hand, Obama seems to be willing to let the courts decide things, like the release of these photos and the videos. The court said release them. Obama has ordered the Justice Department, I believe they've done it already, to file a petition to have that, to get an injunction or a restraining order, whatever, to stop the release. Now, that's the news that's out there. We all know that Obama says no. But maybe Obama is smart enough to realize that he is going to be overruled. Usually when it comes into a head-to-head contest like this between the executive branch and the judicial branch, it's usually, except in the case of the Bush crime family, it's usually the executive branch that loses. So I don't know if that's the correct statement. Often it is the executive branch that loses. So Barack Obama may be playing serious poker. I think Barack Obama knows one thing. He's sitting on top of a mountain of criminal activity. Where to begin? Not just with the war, not just with the torture, not just with the pollution, pardon the pun, of all the regulatory agencies, including the EPA. He's sitting on a mountain. So where do you begin? I think maybe, possibly, or maybe this is not a thought, maybe it's a hope, that he is letting this stuff play out the best way he can, just like today. What did I read today? He ordered the reinstitution of the military commissions, the
military tribunals.
The military tribunals. But if you read further into the story, you find out that he's walking that fine line. He has absolutely not reinstituted the policies of the Bush crime family. He has put all sorts of caveats into. Now, what does that do? Well, it satisfies the military. You don't want to be president of the United States, have the military against you. Look what happened to John Kennedy. It satisfies the military. It satisfies the right wingers. It satisfies people who say there is U.S. historical precedent for having military tribunals. It doesn't satisfy those of us on the left. But maybe Obama is playing. He's playing these people. A little bit at a time, you know, two steps forward, one step back. That wasn't Sun Tzu. Who is that? Karl Marx? I don't know. But Obama is not doing what I insist he should do. And I, Mike Malloy, and that is go in with a wrecking ball and smash down everything that, that George Bush and Dick Cheney erected. And there's a reason he's not, because he's a hell of a lot smarter and more political than I am. That's what I'm left with. That's what I got to work with, Paula. You understand that?
Well, I guess that's what we have to hope is going on.
Yeah, and we will know, won't we, whether or not that is really what's going on. But I'm lost. I mean, Barack Obama is a hard man to read. Unless, you know, I mean, right-wingers just write him off as a socialist. Extreme left-wingers just write him off as a fascist. So they have much better clarity than someone like me or you. We kind of wallow around in the facts and the realities and what has to be done and what can be done and what might be done. So I don't have the moral clarity or the vision, the visual clarity of the far left or the far right. I'm kind of stuck here where I still don't know what's going on. And it sounds like you're right there with me.
Yeah, I don't know what to think. And it's really... You know what? I don't like head games. Okay, I feel like I'm back in my 20s and still dating before I was married.
I hear.
You know what I mean? Where, like, well, he said this.
Right. Oh, I know.
And he did, and I just, you know what? I thought I out, you know, I'm too old.
Yeah.
I'm too old to be dealing with stuff like this.
I know.
Say
well,
what you're going to do and do it. You know, maybe he's not, you know, like, stop playing Parcheesi, damn it. Stop it.
I hear you. Paul.
No, throw us a clothes. Throw us a bone. Something.
Listen, the next time I talk with Barack, I'll tell him what you said, and we'll see if we can get this settled, okay?
All righty, Mike. Thanks a lot. You guys have a great weekend.
All right, Paula, you too. Take care. Next time I talk with Barack. Yeah, okay. Now, I understand what Paul is talking about. This is, it's too much. And I may, you know, I'm probably just whistling out one of my body orifices, with this, nonsense that you all have been hearing, here lately of my saying, well, you know, let's hold back a while. You know, he's been in office 120 days, if that, you know, just chill. There's so much that has to be, I mean, it's like trying to unweave a rug of torture and death and destruction that these bastards spent 8 years putting together. And Obama can't just come in and douse it in gasoline and set it on fire, although that's what I'd like him to do. You know, it's got to be every single cord, thread has to be pulled out and moved over here and then and very slowly unweave this web of terror and death and destruction that these rat bastard Bush crime family members set us up with. You think? Hey, God, I'm glad it's Friday night. I'll see you Monday, okay? Take care. Have a smashing weekend. I'm Mike Malloy. Keep it lit.
I'm going straight.
Have a great weekend. Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.